Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer. New York City census data from 2010 shows that in the past 10 years, every major ethnic group in the city grew in population except one, African Americans, whose population numbers in the city dipped by 2%. It turns out that a large number of these African American emigres from New York are moving south, more than 22,000 in 2009 alone, according to a Queens College study. But we didn't need the census to tell us that Atlanta is the new Harlem. The question is why. Joining me now is WNYC reporter Arun Venugopal, who traveled down south to talk to some of these recent transplants. Arun, thanks for coming in to talk with us.
Hi, Jamie.
So listeners, we want to open up the phones right away. African Americans who are planning to move south or who have a family member who has moved, are you pursuing a new opportunity? Have you simply just had enough of New York? Call 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. Or you can post a comment on our website. Go to WNYC.org, click on the Brian Lehrer Show. And for any Brian Lehrer listeners in Atlanta or Charlotte or anywhere else in the South, did you find what you were looking for? 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. And Arun is right here with me in the studio, fresh from his travels. And I'm going to start up with a clip from your piece, and we've linked this to our show page. The voice is Marlene Patrick, a woman who is still in New York but planning on making the move down south.
I am planning this. That's why I can speak to it, because this is like my soul. This is something I've been plotting at for years. The quality of life here is not living. I'm sorry. Not for me.
You can hear the urgency in her voice. What are the qualities of life issues she is talking about, Arun?
I think there's a few things, really, Jamie. It's about getting that home, that fantasy home that people want. We're talking about middle-class New Yorkers, by and large. It's about having a quality education for their kids. That woman, Marlene, she was struggling to pay for her daughter's tuition fees at CUNY. She wanted to get an education for herself as well, a master's degree. It's about getting safety for their children, being in a neighborhood where they feel like they're not going to get into fights a lot. That's from speaking to people also who've moved down south, and they feel that they're getting all these things. So they feel like they're really, we're struggling, just kind of scraping by New York. The people who've moved down, a lot of them feel like they've achieved those things.
But the affordability issue cuts across racial lines, doesn't it? What is it about African Americans specifically that motivates them to move south in such large numbers?
Well, I think it's become sort of an internal dynamic, in a way that, you know, maybe we're sort of late to the game in finding this out. It took a census to really tell us that by us, I mean the mainstream press. This story has been going on for a couple of decades now. Atlanta was growing very fast in the 90s as well. Cities like Charlotte have been catching up. They're not nearly as big, but they're drawing people from across the country, across the ethnic racial spectrum. But I think African Americans, there's really a sense of sort of a collective sense of not really getting what they want to in New York City, that for various reasons. They may feel like the loss of, say, affordable housing in New York City, feeling like they're not getting corporate love from the corporate sector, from some of the professionals I spoke to.
Let's take a call from John. He is in Queens. John, you are on WNYC.
Yeah, we're getting ready to move down south, mainly because affordability. When you look at the high taxes from property, water rates, and the whole nine. So down south, our friends down there, and they said the standard limit is much better. My two daughters graduated from college, and we had to go to send them to private school because the public school is bad and it's getting worse. So you can imagine if they were to have kids here, they just couldn't afford it. So down south is very attractive.
John, where will you move to?
I'm looking at South Carolina.
South Carolina. Well, thank you so much for your call. Good luck to you and to your family.
Okay.
Arun, this sounds very consistent with your reporting.
Definitely. I mean, I myself travel to Charlotte and the suburbs, which actually lie across the border in South Carolina. This is sort of a boom town, or, you know, the whole state, the whole region is growing. It's drawing people from all over the place. And you have African-American families moving to the suburbs. People who might have been living, as one person I spoke to, who said she used to live in what she called the hood in Mount Vernon and Bronx, in the Bronx and Queens, and now she's got this lovely home on a cul-de-sac in suburban Charlotte, a Mercedes SUV in the driveway, no need to worry about somebody breaking into her home. She feels much safer, much happier, really.
Lee from Brooklyn, you are on WNYC with Arun Venugopal.
Great topic.
Well, thank you. Please go ahead. What is your experience?
Well, I moved in to Atlanta in 1977, and I can honestly say it's the Mecca of the South. We have about 151,000 new people who relocate there every year. I live in a community where Martin Luther King's parents used to live, called Collier Heights. Back in 1985, I bought a house valued at $250,000. If I were still in New York, trying to purchase a house here with 2,000 square feet, I'm talking about close to $800,000.
And yet, Lee, I see that you're calling from Brooklyn.
Yes. I live both places. I live in New York and in Brooklyn. My parents are elderly. So, you know, folks in their 50s are coming back to take care of parents. But I still have a base in Atlanta, and I love it.
Lee, what about the history of the South? You mentioned that your parents are here in Brooklyn. I'm going to ask Arun about this in just a moment. But
yes,
many people moved north from the South during the civil rights struggle and before that during the Great Migration.
Absolutely.
What do you see in terms of that context in the modern South?
Well, I think in the modern South, you're seeing more people returning back to their roots, back to the soil, back to Atlanta and outlining parts of Georgia. And the reason is the quality of life. Right now, I'm on a busy street on Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn. There are fire engines going by. You never get any peace of mind in New York. For those who love New York, fine. But if you really want to experience a beautiful, restful, relaxing life, you take your chances and you move south, where you can grow a garden, where you talk to neighbors, where you can raise a family, where you don't even have to lock your doors if you don't want to.
It's very appealing. You certainly describe it beautifully, Lee. And I thank you so much for your call. I wish you luck with your family, and with your travels back and forth. And
thank you so much. I loved Atlanta so much. I started a magazine.
Yeah, I was going to say you should work for the Tourism Bureau because you're so convincing. I love New York so much, but I'm.
It is the place to go, no matter what.
Getting religion.
It is the place to start. Start over.
Thank you so much, Lee. Arun, thank you, Lee, for your call. Arun, let me ask you the question about the race relations aspect of this, because we are talking about the African-American population going down there in large numbers. Did anyone you interview cite discrimination in New York as a reason for leaving, or perhaps it was the other way around and they felt less welcome down south? What did you hear in terms of that part of the conversation, if anything?
Well, I definitely did ask some people about that, you know, sort of asking them about, oh, you know, stereotypically the South, you know, the fraught racial history there, does that bother you? Some people kind of roll their eyes and they're like, you know what, there's racism everywhere. We experienced it in the North, in New York City, on Long Island. Sure, it's happening here as well. You know, sometimes they encounter Confederate flags waving from the back of pickup trucks or being hung out from their neighbors' homes, and sometimes it's really scary for them. I think for other people, African Americans who've lived there longer, they kind of just like, it's not such a big deal, really. They've accepted that as part of the local culture, a sense of pride. I do think that they feel that it's more explicit, the racial tensions in some manner, but at the same time, as the caller just pointed to, there's a sense of opportunity, of entrepreneurial sort of activity. It's a real buzz. So people feel like they have a sense of agency, I think. They can go there and make things happen in ways that they couldn't here in New York City.
Very interesting. Let's take a call from Beverly in Washington Heights. Beverly, you are on WNYC.
Yes, good morning. I find it interesting that we're focusing on the African-American who have roots here, which I do from the South many, many years ago. However, what I heard was the first two callers were from the Caribbean. They have a Caribbean accent.
Yes, I noticed that as well,
yes,
Beverly.
Yes, I thought that was very interesting. But I do have a daughter who relocated. She moved to Florida, although my family is originally from South Carolina. And I have a younger daughter who's planning to move to Texas. Now, I'm born and raised in New York. I'm first generation New York. But I have no interest. I'm the senior of the family now at 73. But I cannot go to the South and feel comfortable because there's not enough to do. You know, folks are working, they're raising children, they're active. But I'm planning in a few years, once I just say I have to go where my grandkids are, you know, then I might go. But right now, I'm not leaving New York myself. So, like I said, my children are.
So perhaps
and one has already gone.
Perhaps a generational issue. Beverly, thank you so much for your call. And Arun, let's talk a little bit about what we see in terms of the generational distinction. Was this a move, perhaps, for many of the people you interviewed to benefit the younger generation, to get them set up for success? What generational factors are at work here?
I've spoken to different groups of people who are either have moved or who are in the process of moving or considering it seriously. Sort of the solidly middle-class people that I spoke to who have already moved down there, definitely, I think, prioritizing their children and the family life in a way that maybe they didn't feel they could in New York City, giving them that quality education and having access to that education, not necessarily having to shell out tens of thousands of dollars and making the choice between, say, private school and a nice home here in New York City, which many of them felt like they had to do. There's a school in New York City, in the Charlotte area, that I spoke to somebody about. He's a man by the name of Michael Duvall. He works for the YMCA, and he tracks demographic changes. He says, you know, both of his kids, he's African-American, both of his kids go to a school called Mallard Creek High School. It's apparently the top graduation rate in the city, and it has a 57% African-American student population. I don't know if there's anything comparable to that in New York City, where you hear so many complaints from African-Americans about not having the same proportion of African-Americans in gifted programs or at the best schools in the city.
Yeah. You are listening to The Brian Lehrer Show on 93.9 FM and AM 820 WNYC. I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian, and I'm talking with Arun Venugopal and his reporting on the demographic shift for African Americans from the New York City area down to the South. Here's another clip from your reporting, Arun. This time it's from Catherine Jackson. She's formerly of Jamaica, Queens, and she's talking about her son who was starting to get in fights in New York. Here she is.
We knew going somewhere else, we wanted to lower those odds
right.
for him,
right.
basically, because it's really hard for a black male in New York City. It yeah. really, really is. And in order to do that, we knew we had to leave.
So Catherine moved in order to keep her son out of trouble. How did the South help her do that?
Well, I think there's a sense of control they feel over their children's lives. I'm basically, there's no way you can get around as a kid if you're 14 or 15. Get around in the suburbs unless you basically ask your parents to drive you around. Here is a totally different story. We know 10, 12-year-olds in New York City, you see them on the subways going to school an hour and a half away maybe if they have to do the schlep from the Bronx to Brooklyn or what have you. And after school, who knows where they are? They might be going to a friend's house. They might be doing other stuff. That kind of thing really worried some of these parents I spoke to in Charlotte. And now they're able to really exert that kind of control.
And what about the neighborhoods they moved to in Atlanta, Charlotte, or elsewhere down south? Are they predominantly African American, or is the South increasingly more integrated?
Some of the neighborhoods they moved to, some of them did move to predominantly African American suburbs. Others, one house I went to where you heard this woman, Catherine Jackson, it was at her friend's house. It was a mostly white neighborhood, but you have some of these middle-class African-Americans from New York City or other parts moving in. I definitely sensed a lot of, diversity on the streets of Charlotte. I was downtown at this fair, a street fair called Taste of Charlotte. You have a lot of course, aside from the white population, a lot of African-Americans, a lot of Asians. I saw a lot of Indians there. You see them in the downtown business district. They're everywhere. It's definitely a last few years where you have this influx of people, immigrants as well as people from other parts of the country.
And I've spent a fair amount of time down south as a reporter. You travel all over the country.
Sure.
It's one of the great things about being a reporter. I like it, but I can't let the segment go without getting a little plug in for New York. I imagine many of the people who leave must miss a lot of the things New York has to offer, right? The nightlife, the entertainment,
definitely.
The food. Say
the
something.
The hustle bustle. Give
us
absolutely,
a plug.
Absolutely. The authentic food, they miss it. They miss the action, the activity on the streets. They definitely pine for New York. Some of them keep on coming back. Some of them resettle back here. But at this point, I think the trend is still largely in favor of heading out and heading down
wow.
to the south.
All right. Well, you learn something new every day. Arun Venugopal, thank you so much
Thanks,
for being
Jamie.
With me. I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer. I'll be back again tomorrow. Thanks for listening.